What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
With the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Free flat, feel good. Thank you for making football fantastic, funkadelic Friday edition of the Rodcast. We'll get into another freaky tale slash crosstalk coming up last segment of the show. We'll get back to the Specs text line. You guys are great today on the Specs text line, so keep it up. 512-337-3776. We'll read some of those coming up here momentarily, reflect on some of the topics from the first hour. There's also, I want to go behind the burnt orange curtain, talk some Texas football. We'll do that here in the second hour. I did some research on old Hall of Fame safeties in the NFL. The reason I did this research is because I wanted to figure out if trading for Earl Thomas and signing him to the most lucrative deal for any safety in the NFL was worth it for the Cowboys. You know what I mean? Because he's 28 years old. Could he still have 4 good years in him? And if you're signing him to the most lucrative deal for a safety, you want to get 4 more good years out of that. So I did some research because he's a walk-in Hall of Famer. Right now, his resume, Earl Thomas' resume, says that he's a Hall of Famer. So I looked at Hall of Fame safeties. Actually, there aren't that many. You'd be surprised. There aren't that many Hall of Fame safeties. I actually researched. I thought was going to be really, really, you know, arduous. I thought it was going to take a long time. Didn't take that long at all. And I did find a trend. I did find something that I want to talk about coming up a little bit later on as it relates to Earl Thomas, who wants out of Seattle. And we all know he's already told the Cowboys straight up, come get me. Literally, those were his words. If I'm available, come get me. So we'll get into that coming up a little bit later on in the show. Oh, also, Cowboys fans, you'll like this. There's an ESPN writer who did a great piece about, he made predictions, basically prognostications about what's going to happen in the NFL in the next 3 years. And he says that the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl in the next 3 years. Now, I will say that I said that the Cowboys they should contend for a Super Bowl during Dak's rookie contract. Now, that maybe they'll put them right outside the rookie contract. Maybe that's when they sign them to a new deal. But that advantage, the biggest advantage in sports right now, is Dak's rookie contract, and the Cowboys have it. This is their time to strike, you know, like the Eagles did, like the Seahawks did, like the Rams are trying to do right now.
Anything's possible!
You know what? It makes a lot of sense. When you actually start breaking it down, it makes more sense. I know it sounds crazy, but it's not as crazy when you actually start breaking it down and projecting. But we'll get into that. Obviously, Dak's projection is going to be a lot of that. So we'll get back. We'll talk about that and get some NFL news, notes, and nuggets. I want to talk about Carmelo going to the Houston Rockets. Now, he's not officially a Rocket, but all of the reports say that Carmelo, who was traded to the Hawks, and by the way, the Hawks are going to pay Carmelo $27.9 million to buy him out.
Just to buy him out.
Just so he won't even play for them. We'll give you $27 million just so you won't play for us. Man. Damn. That is. I'm going to tell you, these NBA players. So, I mean, that's great. That means he's going to sign with the Houston Rockets at a discount. Low budget Carmelo. And you might get low budget Carmelo. So I want to talk about why the Rockets have to make this move. People are like, oh, man, Carmelo's not going to be able to replace Trevor Ariza and Mumba Mute. He's not going to be able to replace those guys because, you know, two forwards who play defense who were really better defensively than they were offensively. Carmelo Anthony's not going to be able to replicate that. I agree with that. But still, they have to upgrade somewhere. And Carmelo's the way to do it. Okay, so Specs text line, 512-337-3776. I'm at Rod Babies in the Twitterverse. My man Wags is at Not the Fake Wags. Someone on the text line says, so what's the problem with being involved with porn stars? It's a business. It's a stupid hang-up America has with nudity. Just like movies, we can show people dying and that's okay, but one boob and everyone loses their minds. You know what? The Janet Jackson Nipplegate is a prime example of that. It was just a nipple, and America lost its damn mind. And now we watch people get shot on TV. You know what I mean? And it was a nipple. And America lost it. Oh, our innocence gone. Oh, our quiet sensibility gone. All because we saw Janet Jackson's nipple. I didn't even really see it. I mean, I seen it, but it was blurry. I don't know if I saw it. All right. I wasn't that obsessed with it like the FCC thought we were. But you are right. I think now Americans are becoming more and more desensitized to a lot of those taboo things. Marijuana is a primary example. I mean, look at marijuana now through the medicinal marijuana movement. Now, marijuana doesn't have the stigma it used to. People are getting over that ignorance.
I still think it's got a little bit of that negative.
It's still got, of course. Well, the NFL is a prime example of it, right?
No doubt.
We said before, when was the last time a major, and I'm sure it's happened, so send me the articles. I'm sure it's happened in Major League Baseball and the NBA where a player got suspended for marijuana. Oh, it's happened. I know it has. But not as frequent as the NFL. The NFL is like 4 or 5 guys a year. Up, suspended. Suspended for violating the NFL substance abuse policy.
How about this? The NBA really don't get that much into trouble off the court.
The NBA, you know what? Well, not as close to the NFL.
The NFL is
a delinquent league. It's never. I'm just saying that's the perception. It's made up of delinquents. And the offseason stories really confirm that. So, I agree with you. I think we are getting we're getting better as Americans, but we're still a pretty conservative society overall. Pizza delivery guy. So when the porn star comes home from work and it's like, how was your day, honey? How awkward would that be knowing what your porn star girlfriend was doing all day?
How about the ones that are married in the
interesting
industry?
Yeah, that's right. Because is Shannon Tweed, when she married to Gene Simmons?
She's still, I think there's
But
still
she wasn't,
married.
She was softcore porn.
Yeah, she was like Skinamax.
So that was no penetration.
She was like Skinamax.
Yeah, Skinamax.
She's just rubbing
up. Yeah, Showtime. Yeah. That ain't nothing. You know what? I could deal with my woman doing softcore porn. I got no problem with it. I've dated strippers. So I got no problem with women stripping either. I probably would. I don't think I could date a porn star. Could I hang out with one? Of course. Could I go have drinks with one and kick it and have a good time? Yes. And maybe that was what Jimmy Garoppolo was doing. But he's the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers. TMZ ain't following Rod B around. Right? I've only met like one porn star in my life. Her name was like Inari Vox. Yep. You can look it up. I think that's a porn name. And I think she was from Michigan. I met her when I was playing with the Lions. Only porn star that got, other than Mia Khalifa, actually. Sorry, I'll take that back. I met her, too, because she does the show with BK and Trey sometimes. And, yeah, she's a great example of the crossover. She's crossing over. She's trying to cross over. She's trying to become a sports personality. It's tough. Listen, Kim Kardashian is the only porn star to ever cross over to mainstream. That's why you got to respect her. That's all she was famous for was a sex tape. She literally became a porn star before she became an actual star. Which is why her likability scores are worse than Bill Cosby's. When you look at the Q scores, people will dislike her. They do not like her. But she's marketable and she's profitable. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's one of those things where, yeah, America is like violence. America appalls it. And they're appalled by it, but we also are enthralled by it. You know what I mean? And sex is on that list, too. So we got another texter here says, but brought up Tito Ortiz, and we're talking about all the people who've dated porn stars and gotten it on with them. Of course, there are a lot of guys who have. I mean, I'm telling you, I think a lot of athletes, it's kind of the fantasy for these guys, and if they get a chance to do it, they do it. You know what I mean? Like, I think if they get a shot at it, it's like, hey, like Rob Gronkowski, like these young guys, like, you know what? Bruce Willis, when he first got divorced, he dated a porn star. It's one of the first things he did when he got divorced. It's part of the fantasy. It's like, yeah, divorced now, porn star. You know what Kanye West brags about on rap lyrics all the time? How his woman is a porn star. Well, she's in a video and everybody watches the video and still thinks his wife is sexy. Like that turns him on, kind of. So I'm just saying, like, some people, it's their thing. It ain't really my thing. Maybe that's Jimmy Garoppolo's thing. But if you're the 49ers, do you want your superstar to be dating a porn star? Like I say, what would Jesus do? What would Tom Brady do? If Tom Brady wouldn't date a porn star, I would. Tom Brady dates supermodels.
You know what? If I'm Jimmy
Starlets, not porn stars.
Yeah, he
he. Now he might hang out with a porn star too every now and then, but he don't date.
But if I'm Jimmy G, if I'm Jimmy Double G,
Jimmy Double G,
I'm telling San Francisco. Hey, I'm telling that front office, stay out of my business, man.
Stay. Oh, wait, no, I think they will. I think they will. Oh,
yeah, they'll respect. Yeah,
they respect. They respect the man's space. That's, you know, because we don't know the relationship.
That's John Lynch out there now, right?
Yeah. By the way, there is a report that a let me make sure I read this right. A public date like platform and a webcam platform. Like an adult webcam platform called Cam Soda. I do not know what it is. They've already offered her $100,000 to spill the beans on what happened on the date. So they said they've offered her 100 G's just to tell them what happened on the date, give them details, a little write-up, interview, whatever. Apparently they did go back to the hotel and hang out and kick it and have a good time. I mean, I bet Jimmy's like, and some people are saying that he paid for it. There was a payment for the date too. Like that's a rumor. Like
I doubt that.
I know, that's what I said.
He's a good looking dude.
You with the
quarterback
why,
of San Francisco.
Going back to why is he dating a porn star if he's that good looking? And I take that back. Because I would, you know, I'd go out with a porn star.
Why is
he dating? Why is he dating this porn star? Because
exactly.
There are
that's
better looking porn stars.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying.
If you're Jimmy G.
I'm
and you're,
speculating you're, that there was no services paid because of it's not a bit high end name. You know, I mean, this could be an authentic relationship.
Ooh, that's scary. Actually, if I'm a San Francisco fan, I would hope that it was just kind of a one-night stand and, you know, that kind of thing. I would not want it to be a long-standing relationship if I was a 49er fan. That's just me. I wouldn't want it. Nope. I wouldn't want it to happen. I think it's because it would be too much random, like, attention. Like, Jimmy G would become popular for all the wrong reasons. This is a guy that used to be the Patriots quarterback, and now he's dating porn stars? You know what I mean? Like,
that's what happens when you move to the Valley.
You're out in the West Coast. Go find a star. Jimmy G can go date a starlet right now. Go date one of them damn Jenners or something. Would you rather him date a Kardashian or a porn star? That's the question.
Porn star.
The fact that we have to debate it is actually, I guess, yeah. You said you'd rather go porn star. And, yeah, so Matt's going to porn star, too.
You said porn stars are people, too.
They are. I think I'd rather them date the Kardashian, but, yeah, the track record.
Give me Double G, go that porn star route,
of men who've dated the Kardashians, it ain't good.
Give
ain't
us,
good.
Give
the track
for
record.
All
they've
us,
all, they've all fought, they all hit a peak as soon as they date the Kardashians.
Like there's marijuana, that. we need to yeah. Collapse this stigmatism, too.
Yeah, this is true. All right. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Listen, I, like I said, I had no problem with dating a porn star. I wouldn't marry a porn star. I guess I should say that. Yeah. Wags like, no, I wouldn't marry a porn star. Maybe you, hey, some of y'all out there, maybe y'all did and don't even know it. It is the 21st century. Okay, let's get off of that. We've got enough about porn stars. See, that's a great headline for the NFL. The other headline for the NFL that's not so great, and you know what? I take that back. It is a great headline, but it started off of a negative headline. The Miami Dolphins decided yesterday to announce that they were going to potentially suspend any player who violated the NFL's new national anthem policy about standing and respecting the national anthem, and those who don't, they can stay in the locker room, and it's still a sanctuary for those guys. And they could fine those guys. So that was the Miami Dolphins individual team policy about it. Because the NFL's policy, it punishes the teams, not necessarily the players. That was their spin. There was so much negative blowback as a result of this announcement or this report that the NFL decided to halt all NFL national anthem policy changes. The joint statement from the NFL Players Association and the NFL says the NFL and the NFLPA, through recent discussions, have been working on a resolution to the anthem issue. In order to allow this constructive dialogue to continue, we have come to a standstill agreement on the NFL's Players Association's grievance and the NFL's anthem policy. No new rules related to the anthem will be issued or enforced for the next several weeks while these confidential discussions are ongoing. The NFL and the NFLPA reflect the great values of America, which are repeatedly demonstrated by the many players doing extraordinary work in communities across our country to promote equality, fairness, and justice. You know, it's that awkward conversation the players' association and the owners needed to have. And the first policy they came up with, they didn't even consult the players. And there was no way they were going to come up with a solution that would appease the masses, or at least could be more bipartisan, unless they reached out to the players to do it. It just wasn't going to happen. So it almost reminds, this is that point where I don't know who did it. I don't know if the players went to the owners or the owners came to the Players Association, but it's that, you know, those four dreaded words that all men hate. We need to talk. Because no man feels like we need to talk. That means things have gone really bad because we need to talk. And that's when your woman stands in front of the TV and grabs the remote and turns the TV off. We need to talk. That's this moment right now for the NFL and the Players Association. It's that we need to talk moment. We've gone 2 years with this issue deteriorating at the fabric of the game, at the fabric of the popularity of the game, hurting fans' relationship with the NFL. And at this point, on both sides, by the way, presidents still attacking the league over this issue, and they have not yet had a conversation, really, a constructive conversation. They sit down with the players as to how to approach it going forward. And now they finally are 2 years in. 2 years in. That's how long it's going to take them to have a sit down, because now they understand that whatever resolution they came to, it was wrong. Like, it was a catch-22 for them. They couldn't come up with a solution and avoid the blowback. So now they're saying, you know what, let's just sit down with the players. The players' ideas can't be worse than our ideas. Whatever idea these guys have can't be worse than the crap that we've come up with. Because America hates it. The president hates it. Both sides hate it. They hate us. Let's listen to the players, please. It can't be worse than what we have come up with. And they've come up with some really crappy ideas, including letting every individual team handle a national anthem. You know why that's a crappy idea? Because you got 32 different fires to put out. So this team is going to do it this way. Well, what about when another team visits? And this guy for the Jets or for the maybe for the 49ers or for one of the teams where the owners decide, you know what, I'm not going to fine my players. I'm not going to punish my players. I'm going to let them do whatever the hell they want to do. And then they go on the road, and then in another team's, you know, in another team's venue, they decide to, hey, I'm just doing it like we've been doing it all season long. And how does that work? Is the NFL fine and punish both teams, even though the team at home had nothing to do with it? Like, how does that? It's 31 different nightmares to deal with. And the NFL didn't think about it when they made it a state's issue. That wasn't an improvement to the, that wasn't, you didn't address it. You just decided you were too cowardice to actually confront it and was like, we're going to let the teams handle this thing. And if the players want to stay in the locker room, they can do that. And if the players want to be on the sideline, they can do that. So now they are finally listening to the players. And not that the players are going to have a great idea, but it can't be worse than what the owners have come up with. At one point, remember, they were going to just fine and, you know, suspend players, period, no matter, you know, what the circumstance, if they didn't stand. They weren't even going to give them the option of the locker room. And maybe they might have been better off doing that. At least they would have pleased half of the country. Now they're walking that line where both sides of the country, both sides of the issue, are yelling at the NFL and calling them imbeciles and idiots. You know what I mean? Like, that's, they pick a side. Don't be a coward. Pick a side. Or come up with a more constructive plan. Roger Goodell, that's your wheelhouse, actually. Let's talk about Carmelo Anthony. Traded to the Hawks, who are going to give him $27.9 million, by the way. $27.9 million. Man, Turner Sports' David Aldridge, he's reporting that after this trade, and there were several pieces involved, it was a three-team trade. So Oklahoma City involved, Oklahoma City actually ended up trading Anthony and a lottery-protected pick in the first-round pick in the future to Atlanta as part of the three-team deal. Dennis Schroeder, the point guard he actually ended up being part of the deal. Who actually is pretty good. He averaged like 19 points a game, 6 assists a game when he was in Atlanta. So that's actually a good piece to pick up.
He's a good scorer. He can get to the cup.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch him play, but I was looking at his stats, and turns out he's a good player. The big man, is it Mike Muscala? Is that it? Is it Mike
Muscala?
Muscala, also involved in the trade. They sent him to Philly. So Philly, Atlanta, and OKC involved in a three-team trade. David Aldridge is reporting that as soon as Carmelo is waived or clears waivers, and he's going to be bought out first, they're going to give him a $27 million
check. He's going to get all of it, everything that's owed.
$27.9 million up
front. He opted in a couple weeks back. He must have saw this coming.
Give me my money in cash. If I was at Carmelo, I'd be like, yeah, I want it in cash, man. Give me it in cash. Well, he gets $27.9 million, and then he'll be waived, and you have to clear waivers. And David Aldridge is saying the Rockets are the team he's going to. There's actually no debate, no contest. There's not a competition. It's going to be the Rockets. And Rockets fans are less than excited about it because he definitely does not adequately replace the defensive prowess of Trevor Ariza or Luke Mumbai Mute, but you got to upgrade somehow. And if you're the Rockets and you've lost Trevor Ariza and you lost Luke Mumbai Mute and you lost that defensive, you know, upgrade, well, maybe offensively you got to upgrade. And I know that Carmelo Anthony, probably with the Rockets, will probably be fourth. He'll probably be the, I don't know, maybe I'm the fourth leading scorer on the team.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Is this really an upgrade for the Rockets? It's
offensively it is.
This could be detrimental, though.
But defensively, no, it's not an upgrade, of course. But offensively, it is,
It's a defensive vulnerability.
It's a downgrade. Oh, yeah, he's a liability. But offensively, I think Eric Gordon will be counted on more of a scorer than he is. So will CP3, so will James Harden. But maybe that's the role that Carmelo can thrive in. I'm worried that he and D'Antoni are not going to get along. Remember when D'Antoni was in New York, he claims the reason that he was booted and ousted was because Carmelo didn't want him there.
So glad you brought that up.
Yeah, Carmelo just didn't like him. Carmelo's like, I don't like him. I don't like his system. I don't want to be a part of it. Now Carmelo is going to be like the fourth fiddle here, and I wonder if now we'll get a different Carmelo than the one that he had to deal with in New York, the diva Carmelo.
And I still hadn't seen any status this. You know, is he going to be able to come off the bench with the twos? Will he be able
That's
to lead
point.
The twos?
Yeah, I don't know. Is he going to start, come off with the twos? Like, I don't know how that works either. I mean, Eric Gordon comes off the bench, and Eric Gordon's still one of their, you know, leading scorers, and he gets a ton of playing time.
Well, he shoots rock behind the arc.
Yeah, so
he's a 3-and-D dude.
So Carmelo, listen, I know Carmelo is not what Trevor Ariza is on defense, and by Mute is on defense, but offensively, you got to do something to upgrade if you're the Rockets. You didn't get better. The Golden State Warriors got better. You've constructed this blueprint strictly to beat the Warriors, and now they have evolved, and you have devolved. And I don't care how you do it, Carmelo Anthony may not work, but what's the alternative? Do nothing and still get beat by the Warriors? Okay. I mean, I'd rather them upgrade to Carmelo. They have no other choice. Trevor Ariza's gone. All right. Mbah Mute is gone. So I'd rather just say, you know what, let's upgrade with Carmelo. Maybe he has one of his best years ever under D'Antoni because D'Antoni's an offensive genius and knows how to maximize everybody. Yes, I understand. It is not ideal to bring in – I used to call Carmelo a succubus, all right? Like he will suck the life out of a basketball team quick, fast, in a hurry. And, well, yeah, and he's a black hole. When the ball goes to him, it usually doesn't leave. But I think with the Rockets, with CP3, one of his BFFs, and D'Antoni's genius, and Carmelo Anthony's mortality now facing him because he knows he's old and this is one of his last shots for people to take him seriously, you may get the best of Carmelo. And otherwise, you're going to get beat by the Warriors. That's the other alternative. I like the Melo move. They got to do something. They can't just sit on their hands and, you know, do nothing. Carmelo is the best option for them to improve at least one facet of the game, which is offensively. That's an upgrade. Defensively, you got to figure it out. But D'Antoni, his entire career defensively, we've been saying he's got to figure it out. D'Antoni, 7 seconds or less, pace and space is essentially the air raid offense in the Big 12. Every time that it, you know, ends up proliferating, and every time it ends up being the offensive identity of a team, the defense suffers. That's one of the side effects of it, essentially. And teams are now starting to try to figure out how to combat that. At least Lincoln Riley's going to try to figure out how to do it at Oklahoma. But for D'Antoni, that's always been the case. So he's always had to manufacture the defense. And they did it last year. They manufactured it with P.J. Tucker playing well and Trevor Ariza and Clint Capela. So they're going to have to do it again somehow. They still got some of those pieces, but losing Ariza and losing Mbamute, that's going to hurt. There's no doubt about it. Defensively, and that's what took that game, took that series to seven games with the Warriors. It wasn't the offense. It was the defense, which nobody anticipated the Rockets being able to play at that kind of level. All right, we'll come back. We'll go behind the burnt orange curtain. When we come back, we'll read more of your texts from the Specs text line. I got a rant of the day coming up. We're going to cram a lot into the next segment, so don't go anywhere. This is the Rodcast right here on the Horn, 104.9 and AM 1260. Oh, welcome back to the Rodcast. Oh, Miss Jackson is nasty, huh? I like that. A little Janet Jackson working for us. Yeah, what have you done for me lately? She just had a baby at like 50, right? I want to say she had a baby at 50. Was I off about that?
I don't know, but she...
I think Janet Jackson had a baby at like 50-something. She's still looking good. Fact check me on that. I will a little bit later on. I asked Wax to do a lot, but I'll check that out. I think I remember that headline about Janet Jackson being pregnant at like 50. It's the first time we're probably hearing about Janet Jackson since Nipplegate. Was it Nipplegate? Was that the actual term?
Nipple slipgate?
Nipple slipgate? I don't know. Nip slipgate? I don't know. Whatever it was. It was a nipple, for God's sakes. All right? Freaking out. Was I right? Yeah! Janet Jackson had a baby. 50 years old. Boom! Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. Okay, my rant of the day is going to be about Larry Fedora and him sticking his foot in his mouth. So let's get to that. Then we'll go behind the burnt orange curtain. If we got time, we'll talk Cowboys. We got a lot to get to. Let's not waste any time.
As hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite. And start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
No, you've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
Okay, so Larry Fedora, head coach of North Carolina football team, put his foot in his mouth. He said some things that have gotten him in hot water. And it was about football and how there's an attack on football. Here's the first bit of audio. We're going to play a couple of these. Here's the first bit of audio of him at ACC Media Days, and this is the first part of the trouble.
I fear that the game will get pushed so far to one extreme that you won't recognize the game 10 years from now. That's what I worry about. And I do believe that if it gets...
Football goes away or struggles.
I think there will be decline of our country. There's no doubt. Yeah, I there's no doubt in my mind. I think because the lessons that you learn in the game of football relay to everything that's going to happen in the rest of your life. And if we stop learning those lessons... we're going to struggle. And, you know, I think in some ways we're struggling more now than we ever have. Are we ever going to be a perfect country? No, not by any means. And but I do think the game of football has had a major impact on who we are as a country.
Okay, so there's also another quote. So basically saying that game of football is under attack. He also said that if football goes downhill, so will America. That's interesting. Interesting take.
That's a bit of a stretch.
He also said, I don't think it's been proven that the game of football causes CTE. And this was the quote that got him in trouble. He said, we don't really know that. Now, this next piece of audio is him basically trying to clarify that quote where he says, and I got it from Nicole Auerbach, I don't think it's been proven the game of football causes CTE. We don't really know that. Are there chances for concussions? Of course, there are collisions, but the game is safer than it's ever been. Here's him trying to clarify those statements.
Of the CTE and football relationship, I don't know if you want to kind of clarify exactly where your thoughts are on that.
I don't know if if clarification is the right word. It's more about, you know, what I said and you know, I'm not sure that anything is proven that football itself causes it. Now, we do know from what my understanding is that the blows to the repeated blows to the head cause it. So I'm assuming that.
Okay, we can stop right there. We can stop it right there. This is it in a nutshell. All right. So, man, we can really go into politics here, but I'm not going to do it.
I don't know if it's really clarifying, but about what I said.
It's the old, and I hear this in politics all the time, association is not causation. Association is not causation. What's the number one debate we hear that about, right? Climate change, right? Association isn't causation. Nope, not that. Just because it's it's associated doesn't mean it's actually causing the climate to change. And yet 93% of scientists who are published scientists believe that, yeah, that, you know, there is a link between human beings and climate change or some type of link there. And not even saying that there is a definitive link, but a link. Like, even the NFL took 10 years ago for them to do it, finally. They finally admitted there's a link between CTE and concussions. They finally admitted. Before that, they were trying to deny it. Now they finally admit it. And so he's trying to say, basically, he's saying with the association and causation argument is that there's nothing but circumstantial evidence. There's nothing but circumstantial evidence against OJ, I guess, too. You know what I mean? Nothing but circumstantial evidence. You know what I mean? And it is. It's a lot of circumstance because it's really in its infancy. We're just learning about CTE. But the cigarettes cancer discussion back in the day was an association causation thing, too, for a long time. People are like, yeah, I think those cigarettes might give people cancer. Oh, well, light it up. Smoke them if you got them. You know what I mean? But that ain't no causation yet. And then they finally did more and more studies, and they figured out, like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I think this stuff may be cause. If you overdo it, it may actually, you know, may actually cause cancer. If you smoke a pack a day, it's probably not good for you. You know what I mean? Lead paint is the same way. Remember, lead paint used to be everything.
That's what you painted with.
You painted with lead paint. In fact, lead paint is actually making people go crazy. Oh, we probably shouldn't use lead paint anymore.
Hey, Timmy, would you like to take a break from that lead-based paint?
Yeah, I mean, we painted our houses with the stuff. But at first, it was association is not causation. And then common sense kicked in. It's like, well, yeah. So what he's saying is, like, the cigarettes would argue carcinogens cause cancer, not cigarettes. But there are carcinogens in the cigarettes. So, well, okay. So head trauma causes concussions, which lead to CTE. But so football doesn't cause it, but you do get a lot of head trauma and a lot of concussions in football. But football doesn't necessarily cause it. You don't have to ever smoke a cigarette to get lung cancer, which is true. But your chances of getting lung cancer increase exponentially if you're smoking a pack a day. And yes, somebody can have CTE who has never played football in their life. But the Boston University study says 99% of the brains that they studied had CTE from former players. And they studied up to 85 of them. Another study said it was 85%. So I'm just saying it increases exponentially. It's like the JFK assassination. Association and causation. That's what the magic bullet came from. The magic bullet theory, which was a governmental investigative organization that tried to convince Americans that a bullet could change direction in midair. Twice.
And that is how we got the movie Wanted.
Right? Twice, by the way. Like, twice. I think it went left. It went through, JFK's neck, went left, went through Governor Connally's wrist, and then had another turn. It was like, damn, that bus a hell of a damn bullet. Where y'all get that bullet from? I would pay $1,000 a bullet for a bullet like that.
Now, a 5.56 round will tumble through the body once it strikes the body, but I
mean,
two different people.
And make a left and a right and a left?
If a 5.56 round enters the body up in the shoulder,
yeah,
it can exit the body at the right left leg, or at the right leg, not left.
And then go into another person and then make another turn.
No, it cannot enter another.
Okay, that's what the magic bullet did.
That's the magic bullet that the government was saying.
That's just physics, what you're talking about. I'm talking about the magic bullet that made two left turns and then a right turn, then made a U-turn. All right, we're talking about that, which we agree now is a bunch of BS. But
It did a dance.
The association and causation. So what I think people understand is that there are blue zones, which the NFL is, I think, at fault for this because they didn't do enough research. There are some people, you look at the old guys like Jerry Kramer and, you know, some of these older football players like Bob Lilly, hell, you know, back in the day, Roger Staubach, guys like that, who are aging better than some of the other guys. And you got to find out what they're doing. Is it a quality of life thing? Is it a diet? Is it genetics? What is it? If the NFL didn't ignore CTE and they weren't acting like it didn't exist, we probably would know now if it's more about genetics, if it's more about lifestyle, if it's more about diet, if it's more about the safety issue, positions, whatever. We don't now because they wanted to deny it for so long. Because I think there are some blue zones. There are some people who don't get affected by it As others, there's some people that can eat bacon and smoke menthols every damn day and live to 87. And live to 97 and be just fine. And some people can't. So I think the NFL has ignored that avenue. And they're ignoring, and I've said before, the cannabinoid avenue. My man B. Can Trey, they had Mike James on, I believe it is, a running back who's trying to get marijuana, medicinal marijuana, as a pain, kind of as a guy, instead of using pills and prescription pills to deal with pain, he's trying to get the NFL to approve medicinal marijuana. They won't. They denied him. But CBD is doing a lot these days to help people with neurological disorders. And CTE is a neurological issue. And it's based on your brain becoming inflamed once, you know, it swells when you have trauma. And CBD is a neuro anti-inflammatory. And with genetics these days, they're making super CBDs. Super CBDs. They have like 500 times the potency. So I think the NFL ignoring things like that, and they also said that it's a neuroprotectant. It can work to protect like the neural passageways. All those things are things that could help to at least treat and be able to, you know, I think really prevent in some instances the CTE and the concussions. But the NFL is, you know, still want to bust guys for smoking weed. instead of studying the actual plant for the medicinal purposes and how it can help with CTE. Okay, I wanted to get into a lot of different things. Obviously, I didn't get to all of them. While I have some time here, I got a couple of minutes. I want to get into this Dave Aranda, Brent Venables piece really quickly. Okay, so it'll take me like 90 seconds, and then we'll go to break and get ready for crosstalk, and we'll talk Cowboys on the other side. So Brent Venables is going to have the most lucrative contract for any assistant coach in college football history. And he's a DC for the Clemson Tigers. And they're going to pay him some ridiculous amount. He won't be the highest paid defensive coordinator, highest paid coordinator annually. That title belongs to Dave Aranda, the DC for LSU. But he has the most robust contract overall in terms of money. And I once compared Dave Aranda's stats to Todd Orlando's stats as a defensive coordinator because I wanted to see, like, well, if he's the highest paid DC, where does Todd Orlando stand? And it was crazy. I found out that their defenses are very different, but Dave Aranda's defenses normally were better total defenses, better pass defenses, and better scoring defenses. And people are like, oh, that's a better defense. Not necessarily. Todd Orlando's defenses were better at providing pressure, tackles for loss and sacks. They're better at creating turnovers, and they were better at rush defense. So I think it's all about what you prioritize. His modus operandi for Todd Orlando was stop the run. That makes it one-dimensional. Then get after the quarterback, and that discombobulate the quarterback, and then they'll force turnovers. So those three things, stop the run, get after the quarterback, force turnovers. Because of that being what he prioritizes as his MO, that's what he's really, really good at. And I think the same thing for Dave Aranda. And also where the culture of where you end up being a coordinator in. I think that helps because Dave Aranda was in the Big Ten and now in the SEC. Those are line of scrimmage leagues. Todd Orlando's coming out to a pass spread league. Brent Venables, though, if you look at his defenses, they actually are better statistically than Todd. Todd Orlando still, I think, has a better rush defense all throughout on his resume. And he has a better kind of pressure defense at providing pressure and getting in the backfield. But Brent Venables is up there with Dave Aranda as top defensive minds in college football. Todd Orlando, not that far from that discussion. Rhea 2 will mean a lot for Todd Orlando coming back this year in terms of his overall respectability. All right, we'll come back, get into Freaky Tales / Little Crosstalk. We'll give you a leaderboard update with the British Open as well. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Real quick, your leaderboard right now for the Open Championship. Zach Johnson in the lead, tied with Kevin Kisner, 6-under. Tommy Fleetwood behind him at 5-under. Pat Perez also at 5-under. Rory McIlroy right now, 4-under, tied for 6th. Still looking for Tiger. Jordan Spieth is tied for 11th at 3-under. Ricky Fowler also at 3 under, and I'll look for Tiger. What's going on, Chad? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. That golf tournament's golf tournament's shaping up pretty good. Nobody's really way out. I think Tiger's at even.
He's at tied for 29th. He's at even.
Even par. He's 6 shots back.
Jason Day also tied there. Phil Mickelson, even.
Yeah, the beauty of this tournament is
Louis Oosthuizen.
The weather should be a part of it. Creative shot making is a part of it, and now we've got some big names up towards the top. Don't forget about Zach Johnson, man. He won the Masters. You mentioned him first, and his game seems to set up well at the British. He won the British at the Old Course a few years ago. I believe that was the year that Jordan Spieth almost won, that Zach Johnson took it from him, and now he just seems to be playing well. I love the Fleetwood kid, too. Great lettuce on that kid. Have you seen his hair?
No.
The Jimmy Fleetwood?
No.
Oh, he's great. British kid. He's playing real well right now and just awesome.
Got the rocker hair going?
Kind of like the Jacob deGrom hair before he cut it.
Okay, yeah.
It's that long, flowing,
nice.
I might be a badass reliever kind of hair. But he's playing really good golf right now.
If your quarterback for your favorite NFL team was dating a porn star, what would be your thoughts?
As long as he's not married, that's fine.
So marrying a porn star, we agree, is the crossing of the line. That's when you...
No. As long as he's not married ahead of time. As long as he's not married ahead of time.
Oh, so you don't care about him dating a porn star or
Hey, if he falls in love and it works, sure.
No big deal?
See, I'm a little different on that kind of stuff, though. I don't get as flipped out about porn stars and prostitutes as everybody else does.
Nobody's flipped out. I just think it's about brand management. Like Nike is gonna, will stay away from your quarterback. Your quarterback is your biggest selling brand. That's what you want. And they may not want to team up with a brand associated with a porn star. So.
Yeah, no. It may cost him.
It's a franchise.
Yeah, it may cost him in terms of endorsements. But on the other side, he may get a whole bunch of cool endorsements we've never seen for an NFL quarterback. Think about it.
It's Pornhub.
And he's in San Francisco. Come on. Man, that could get really interesting.
That could get interesting. All right, it's going to be interesting coming up next, Chad and Kevin, so don't go anywhere. Well, thank Wax doing a good job. Remember, the Revolution will not be televised. We'll talk about it right here on the broadcast. Everybody have a great weekend. Love you guys. Peace.